Do you believe that, dear congregation? What you just sang? Rejoice, for thou art near. The Lord God of heaven and of earth is near. And dear congregation, this is what we, with God's help, will be considering this morning. Something that should never cease amazing us. Children, do you know what it is? That we, as sinners, may speak with God Almighty, as with our Father, which art in heaven, and ask Him to give us everything we need, trusting Him that He will also give it. You see, that's not about who we are. That doesn't have anything to do with who we are, but everything to do with who He is in Jesus Christ for poor and needy sinners. As we find it in His own word, Jesus teaching us this, commanding us. Matthew 6, verse 9a, as we read it, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. We hope to consider later, the Lord willing, each petition particularly. But today our focus is on how to come to God, how to ask Him in our prayers, particularly focusing on who He is and who He delights to be for us in Christ Jesus. It's the address of prayer. We hope to do that from Matthew 7, verse 11, and from Lord's Day 46, which you can find on page 83 in the back of your Psalter. Matthew 7, verse 11. We hear God's word to us, Jesus speaking. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask Him? And in Lord's Day 46, question 120. Why has Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? And the answer, that immediately, in the very beginning of our prayer, He might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God, which are the foundation of our prayer, namely, that God has become our Father in Christ and will much less deny us what we ask of Him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. And question 121, why is it here added, which art in heaven? And in the answer, lest we should form any earthly conceptions of God's heavenly majesty, and that we may expect from His almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. With God's help, dear congregation, this theme, why we ask all good gifts from God. In the first place, He is our giving Father. And in the second place, He is our heavenly Father. Why we ask all good gifts from God? In the first place, because He is our giving Father. And in the second place, because He is our heavenly Father. So in the first place then, because God is our giving Father, before we come to God in prayer and ask Him anything, we must first consider who God is, to whom we approach in prayer, and what He has done for us already. We must pray. We need to pray, for our needs are many. But our focus in our prayer is not us, nor is it our needs, but it is the God of heaven and of earth. The focus of our prayer must be on God Himself. Prayer is looking away from ourselves to God. The focus would be, dear congregation, on ourselves. What a hopeless thing it would be, and how it would be not prayer at all. It would look within ourselves. There'd be no hope. For we have lost all rights to all good things, to ever receive anything good in our lives. So we desperately need these good things. But we're evil, due to our fall and sin, we deserve only evil things, only bad things, only death and eternal condemnation. For the wages, we read in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And it goes on, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. In Jesus Christ, you may come to know God as a giving Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. The people in the world are perplexed as to how supposedly good people do evil things. Why bad things happen to what they call good people. They're amazed about that. They wonder about that. But we who have the Word of God are and ought to be more amazed that evil people, bad people, do good things and that bad people receive good things, any good thing at all. That ought to be our wonder and our amazement. For all the good things we already received in spite of our badness. Something of that amazement shines through in a text, doesn't it? Where Jesus says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. It is as if Jesus asks and states, don't you think it is remarkable? Don't you wonder why it is that way? How it can be possible that we as evil parents can give good gifts to our children? Our hearts by nature be nothing but fountains of evil. How could there be a good word coming from our lips? But then he draws us away from that. He begins the text like that. But then he says, how much more? He sets before us a great contrast. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give? He is a giving Father. Good things to them that ask. So before we ask anything of God, our focus first is on God as our Father, as our giving Father, which art in heaven. That He is a giving Father, and that He has already given and is doing so much giving even till this very moment that we sit here in the house of God in peace, that we could travel to church today, that we have enough to eat, is already reason to wonder before God. It has implications to the congregation. The first one, therefore, as we already saw last week, is that we come into His presence with thanksgiving. As we saw from Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Before we ask anything, before we lay down a request before Him for the present and for the future, we give thanks for all the past mercies that He has showered upon us. So many we already received. Perhaps you think you did not have so many. Perhaps you think you're showered with trials instead and overwhelmed by them. But oh dear congregation, let us do what the children sing in one of their songs, count count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. It will surprise you to see what God has done. Count them one by one, your many blessings, and see what God has done. Try it out once. Get a piece of paper and make two columns and list the blessings and all the trials and see which list will be longer. Enough reason then to come to God with thanksgiving and acknowledge Him as our heavenly good-doing Father. See, God delights to give us good things, but He wants us to realize how undeserving we are and how good and gracious He is. We saw it last week from question 117, the previous Lord's Day, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer, as He has promised us in His Word. You see, the certainty, the key to that certainty is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. For in Him, and giving Him over to the death of the cross, He gave His all. He gave Himself. So we can come to Him, indeed, in prayer, with thanksgiving, and say thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. In the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord revealed Himself as in no other way as a giving Father. He is our giving Father. Romans 8:32. We find it expressed, to He that spared not His own Son. In other words, He that gave up His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? It's for Jesus' sake only that we as sinners received any good thing in the past. And so it will be for the very same reason also in the future. You see, there is something in this that should remind us of the unchanging nature and character of God. As He gave it without there being any reason in us, and every reason in His Son and in His own heart, so we will continue to do so, for His promises are in Him, that is in Jesus, yea, and in Him, amen. He swears an oath there, yea and amen, surely it is so, the Lord says. This is who I am. You can count on me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His unchanging character. You see, when we sinned in paradise, and when we sin every day, God doesn't change. We do. He is the unchanging one who is always faithful, and He comes to us, to you and to me, even today, as we are sinners. Whether we're born again or not, we are sinners in and of ourselves. The Word of God is of comfort to sinners, especially to those that are made aware of it. So we are encouraged to come to Him and call upon His name, as we read it also from Matthew 7, these beautiful verses 7 and 8. And so the Word of God comes to every one of us, no one excluded. And He says, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Amazing words, isn't it? From a holy God to wretched sinners. You see, it has nothing to do with us, but everything with Him. The fullness of one-sided and free love to wash and cleanse us from all sins comes right through these words. Look how verse 8 makes it very plain. For everyone, be it that be a congregation. For, that means because, everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Oh, dear congregation, children and young people, it will be so awful to go lost forever simply for not having asked, for not seeking, for not knocking. Oh, then go to him and lay the Bible open before him and say, Lord, here it says, here I am, thou said, seek and ye shall find, ask and it will be given. I know I do not deserve it. But thou, O Lord, hast opened a way to do it through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to further persuade us to come to him and to ask him and to take him upon his word. As if these two verses aren't clear enough, the Lord Jesus carries on his argument, asking two rhetorical questions, questions that don't need an answer. They're already answering themselves, self-evident. He says, or what man is there of you? In other words, who is there among you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Can it really be true that there would be a man among you, he says, that would do such a terrible thing? Can it be a father? Children, would your father do it? Give you, instead of some food, a poisonous snake? Or if you ask some bread and he says, here is a stone. No wonder that the question needs no answer. Of course he would not. And then the Lord Jesus, using that argument, that crystal clear argument, setting before us in such an enormous dimension in a text. If ye then, he says, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts unto your children? You see, so we not only come unto him with thanksgiving, but in the second place also with great expectation. How much more, the Lord Jesus says, shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? If you then, Jesus says, and he says it to us too this morning, if you then, fathers, mothers, grandchildren, grandfathers, grandmothers, desire to give good gifts to your children, when they ask, how much more will God, who is good, who is the fountain of all good, overflowing fountain of all good, as we confess in our Belgian confession in the first article, give us good things when we ask. Yes, give us every good gift upon asking. And this is the third implication. We come not only with thanksgiving and with expectation, but also with humility and submission, because it's about every good gift. You see, we come to him confessing our sins and our evil heart, humbly acknowledging God as our Heavenly Father to be more willing to give us good things than we are willing to give it to our children. Yes, even more willing to give us these good gifts than we are willing to receive it. And the congregation, it is about what God calls good we need to ask for, not what we call good. Not according to our whims and desires and sinful inclinations, but what God calls good in his word. So that humbly we come to him as our giving Father, realizing, as a child ought to realize when he goes to his father, give me, Dad, what I need. I think I want this, but perhaps you think differently. So we go to the word of God and to God himself. You see, and then we must turn to the Word and find out how much we need, not just all kinds of gifts, first of all, but we seek first and foremost the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the gift of gifts, the Lord Jesus Christ. For in the Lord Jesus Christ, truly, God is our giving Father. And so we may and we must come to Him. As we find it also said before us in Lord's Day 46, in question number 20, why hath Christ commanded us to address God thus, our Father? And He says before us a very striking thing, very emphatic statement, that immediately, so at the very beginning, it says, immediately in the very beginning of our prayer, before we do anything else, before we ask anything, before we confess anything, He might excite in us a childlike reverence for and confidence in God. Childlike reverence. That we approach God indeed with humility, with awe, but also with a childlike confidence, a trust. It says, which are the foundation of our prayer, namely that God has become our Father in Christ. So what's the rock? What's the foundation upon we build our prayer? It is Jesus Christ. We come to Him immediately realizing at the very onset of our prayer that we cannot approach unto God outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him with a childlike reverence, standing in awe before Him, but also with confidence, trusting in Him that we will receive what we ask as we find it in His Word. Is that, dear congregation, how you come? Looking to Jesus, the unspeakable gift of the Father, the author and finisher of our faith. Is that how you come? Is He everything to you? Does He indeed come before any and every other gifts that you desire? Praying so with thanksgiving, with expectation, and with humility. You see, if you so come, if that's how you come, then indeed the last part of the answer is true for you too. But the instructor goes on to say, and will much less deny us what we ask of Him in true faith, then our parents will refuse us earthly things. They have the same thing as we find in a text, just in a negative form. Much less, He will deny us what we ask of Him in true faith, then our parents will refuse us earthly things. And children, sometimes your father or your mother says no to you when you ask for something. Maybe you think it's good. Maybe you think it's a good thing to ask. But maybe it's the wrong thing to ask. Or maybe it's the wrong time to ask. And then it is God's will that we would then say, if mom or dad says no, okay, mom, okay, dad, and we so listen to them, to our parents. You see, God then will not say no to us if we come indeed to Him with things that are good for us, that He has revealed in His Word to ask for. He will not say no. He may be silent for a while, but He will give us what we indeed prayerfully wait for. As we heard and saw last Sunday from Psalm 130, waiting for it, hoping in His Word, knowing that if we ask these things that are according to His revealed will, we shall have them. Not because of anything in us, but because of everything in Him. Looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is in true faith. Knowing that we have no rights, no expectation, nothing but sin and a fountain of iniquity in ourselves, but that we look for the fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness in the blood of Jesus Christ. The reason for all good, for every good,
for every blessing. He will not deny us His Son and all good things with Him. It's His delight to be a giving Father. You'll find God more willing to give us the Lord Jesus Christ than we are willing to receive Him. If God only, dear congregation, would open our eyes for our resistance against receiving Him. We like all other blessings. We seek them. We work for them. We slave for them. We pray for them. We thank God for them. But Jesus Christ is the foremost gift that we need, dear congregation. And it's the one God delights to give. Much less deny us what we ask of Him in true faith than our parents will refuse us earthly things. And in a text, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts and your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? But you notice how the instructor contrasts earthly, the word earthly in that answer, earthly things, with what the Lord our God will give. And those things are heavenly things. There are heavenly matters. And that brings us to our second point. When we consider that God is not only our giving Father, but also our heavenly Father. So the question, dear congregation, is why do we go to God to ask Him for all good things? Well, the answer really is very simple, because He commands us to do that. In His Word. We saw it has nothing to do with us. We are undeserving sinners who deserve nothing but hell and condemnation. But the very fact that we are still alive proves that God is good and merciful and patient and long-suffering, ready to abundantly pardon our sins and to give us every good thing forever. He's our giving Father indeed, the fountain of all good. He delights to give us every good gift. He is not the problem. We are the problem. Our problem, dear congregation, is that by nature we do not know what is good. We do not know what to ask for. We do not know how to ask it. And so often we ask for the wrong thing, or perhaps for the right thing at the wrong time. This is not only the problem of the unbeliever. Sadly, too often, it is the problem of the believer as well. Asking for wrong things. Not asking, being enlightened by the Word and by the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's not a problem of the unbeliever to be selfish and to seek ease and good times. It can do it selfishly in the world, and it can do it selfishly in church, just to feel good. It's deeply rooted in us, dear congregation. You see, we must remember indeed to humbly pray to our giving Father, but also to our heavenly Father. Question 112 asks, why is it here added, which art in heaven? Such a beautiful balance in an opening address of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, near at hand. But also, which art in heaven? And the answer is, lest we should form any earthly conceptions or thoughts or ideas or expectations of God's heavenly majesty. You see, again, the word earthly contrasted with the word heavenly. See, that's why the Lord Jesus taught us in Matthew 6, in verse 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Did you notice the word therefore? Now that means you have to look what's said before. What is in verse 8? What is it? Therefore we must pray like this. And if you come to the first thing we must remember is that God knows all things. Verse 8 we read, "For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." You should not go to our God as the heathens go to their gods and say and repeat it many times just in case the gods don't know it. Don't pray like the Gentiles do, like the heathen do. God dwells in the heavens and he looks down upon this earth and he knows our every need even before we ask. That's why before we ask, we must consider this God who he is and be encouraged that he knows all things. See, we do not inform him of our needs. We do not tell the Lord what we need. Rather, we come to him so that he would reveal to us what we need. So we search the scriptures and learn to know our needs and ask informed. And we be informed of our needs. He already knows them all. Our problem is that we don't know them. Is this your comfort, the congregation? This is the comfort of all true believers, of all children of God, that he knows everything, all the time, no matter how deep the trial is. He knows it even from all eternity. He comes to us by his word and by his spirit to reveal our need, but also to reveal his great fullness. Not only in our physical and material needs, he knows that we need to eat and to drink. He knows that we need clothing and shelter and health and strength and a job and all kinds of things. But he also knows of our spiritual needs, our eternal needs. Would it be, dear congregation, that we would know it? Then we would have comfort in a God who knows all things, even the depths of your heart. Then you will not hide anything from him, not only your needs, but also your sins. And they say, "Lord, it is true. I do not deserve any of these things, but I find in thy word that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." Is it your comfort that you may call upon God as your heavenly Father, who knows what you need even before you come to him? How encouraging it is that he is not only our giving Father, but therefore also our heavenly Father. Not only willing to give all these things, as a father will give all good things to his children, but also knows what to give and able to give it. Give us everything we need. Oh, do not think too small of the Lord our God. Don't think too small of his willingness, nor of his ability. That's why the instructor goes on and says, "And that we may expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body." Expect from his almighty power all things necessary for soul and body. It's amazing in how few words so much can be said. On the one hand, we tremble as we come to God and we look at ourselves and our sinfulness and our conditions and our circumstances. And then we consider who we are. And also when we consider who he is, holy and spotless majesty, and think, how can he have anything to do with us? But on the other hand, we may rejoice in the unspeakable gift. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in all way, and again I say, rejoice." Indeed, he has a heavenly majesty, living and abiding in spotless glory. Yet he will come and give us every good thing in and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He does receive us and our requests. He received Abel and his sacrifice in the way of blood. So that's the second thing we must remember. Not only that he knows all things, but that he can do and will do all things. That we may come to him in the name of the Lord Jesus with great expectations and claim all his promises. All his promises. As he has laid them in his word, because they're all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. In him we have everything, and outside of him we have nothing. For even that which we have or think to have shall be taken away from us in the end if we have not Jesus. And dear congregation, he gives everything. So if you cannot come to him in faith, you can come and you may come to him for faith, for that's the gift of God too. Ephesians 2:8 shows us it's a free and sovereign gift of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. God is a giving heavenly Father. You see, these words are not meant to discourage us. Sometimes they're being used that way. But to encourage us to flee to this God, for he will give everything in and through Jesus Christ. Even grace, even faith, it's the gift of God, which he does not give grudgingly. He delights in mercy. To flee to his word, to search the scriptures, to seek him, you shall find him. Even to receive everything. You can't bring anything along but your sins. Consider Acts 5:31. Him, that is Jesus, hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So the repentance he requires and the faith he requires, he gives. That's just everything. Everything he demands of us, he gives freely for the sake of Jesus Christ and him crucified. So that God gives sovereignly and freely is not an obstacle. It's our only hope and expectation. For he is more willing to give it than we are to receive it. All good things. Do you feel unwilling and unable, come to him in prayer to be made willing. Turn to his word and read Psalm 110, that he will have a people made willing in the day of his power, heavenly majesty. It's not to deter us, it's to encourage us to come to him. He is willing. Be made willing in the day of his power. They have willingness and ability, which you lack in him. You see, dear congregation, his gracious willingness to be a willing and a giving Father is more than matched with his ability and his promises, his power, almighty power, in and through Jesus Christ. To me, Jesus said before he ascended, is given all power. In heaven and upon earth. So that we sinners need not, ought not despair. He gives us his word. He is even willing to give us his Holy Spirit. But for the asking. You see, our text promises generally about good things. Our Father, which is in heaven, will give good things to them that ask him. That includes already all good things. But you see, the parallel passage in Mark 7, in Luke 11 rather, verse 13, we read a very specific and most wonderful promise that removes every obstacle, even the last one. Luke 11:13, we read, Almost the same words as in our text. If ye then, you then, you, us, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That's the last obstacle that we could come up with to think that it's not for us or not possible for me. God is more willing to give us the Holy Spirit than we are willing to give good gifts to our children. To them that ask. This is God's word. God himself speaks. The congregation, everything you and I could ever need for time and for eternity, everything that we need to have, anything we need to do, is supplied in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing lacking in God. Absolutely nothing. It's provided as free and sovereign gift, all in and through his unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, which have revealed to us in his word. Every gift. Do you need grace? Go to him and ask for it. He shall give it. Do you need faith? Do you need the Holy Spirit? Do you need the Lord Jesus himself? Do you need God as our Heavenly Father? He says, ask. And it shall be given. But Jesus says in another place too, that we must search the scriptures. For they are they which testify of me. And without finding Jesus in the scriptures, dear congregation, we will not find God as our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Dear congregation, doesn't it cause you to stand in awesome wonder that the Lord, our heavenly majesty, the God of heaven and earth, is such a caring Father? Do you really believe it? That he's an overflowing fountain of good for sinners? He leaves nothing to chance, nothing to our own miserable powers, which are no powers. He's taken care of everything. In Christ Jesus, he is reconciled unto the world. And this word of reconciliation is preached unto you. Isn't this the true and only comfort in life and in death? To belong to this faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, forever. To know that he is in heaven at his Father's right hand, with power and with glory, reigning over all things, bringing us here today in the house of God. Oh, to know that he is in heaven at his Father's right hand, to make intercession without ceasing for us. No matter what time of the day or the night you come to him, children, he is always praying there. From there he sends his word and his Holy Spirit, as we can see in Romans 8:34, to help our infirmities. Even if we can't pray, and if we don't know what to pray or how to pray, we can plead the power of the word and the Holy Spirit. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 26. So have one interceding at the right hand of God, Jesus, an advocate, and one who will intercede within us. So it's all his work. Fatherly providence, the Son interceding at the right hand, the Father, the Holy Spirit to do it within us. Is this your comfort, dear congregation? Nothing is lacking? Even for sinners such as you are and remain to be in and of yourselves, to come to him as sinners. Even children of God do not come claiming they are children of God, but they come claiming nothing but the blood of Jesus. Because we are we remain sinners. Jesus said so plainly, doesn't he? If ye then, being evil, how to know to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? You being evil, your Father. The Word of God comes to sinners, dear congregation. As sinners. With good things. That's the third thing we should remember. That everything he sends our way is good. Everything he sends our way is meant for good. How could it be otherwise? God being an overflowing fountain of all good. There's nothing but goodness in him. So there must be nothing but goodness in his gifts. All meant for good. That includes the congregation, our trials and afflictions. We often think of them in earthly ways. We have earthly conceptions of all things, don't we? Earthly expectations. We often think that those things that please us are blessings. And then when the Lord has helped through an illness or through surgery or out of a difficulty in our business or at school or at home, wherever it may be, and it went well, then we think, and it's true too, that God is blessing us. But where does it lead us? Too often it does not lead us to repentance, as Paul says in Romans. Therefore he sends afflictions. But they're good too. Often more effectual in our lives. For it reminds us again how much we need God. Blessings in disguise, aren't they? Blessings in disguise. Good things. God then in Romans 8:28 makes it so plain, doesn't he? That he makes all things work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. You see, that we often forget. We talk about that God works all things for good. Sometimes you stop there. But the text goes on and says, for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. And sometimes we stop there. But then we forget the purpose. What is the purpose? Well, that's in verse 29. To be made conformed to the image of his Son. That's why he's not only a giving Father, but also a heavenly Father. So that we would become more and more like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we become more godly. That's the fourth thing we should remember. When we remember God and we think of God and approach unto him in prayer as our Father which art in heaven. That we would be made more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, grace is free. But it's not cheap. God freely bestows it upon whomsoever he will. But the ones upon whomsoever he will give it, he makes them willing to come to him to ask. And they shall receive. You see, we may have great expectations of our Heavenly Father, but he also has great expectations of us. Not because of us, but because of his Son. And his Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So that he may expect and demand perfect obedience from us. For he didn't only give us the law, but he gave us the gospel as well. In and through the Lord Jesus Christ, he demands his image back. And he says, I've done everything I needed to do. There's nothing lacking. I'm your Heavenly Father. I will provide you with your every need. It's striking. If you look at it in a text, verse 11, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And then the next verse. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Do you see how this perfect prayer leads into perfect obedience? And how is it seen? It is seen in how we treat one another. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Love your neighbor as yourself. For that's the most sure evidence of having the love of God in us. That we truly believe that God is our Heavenly Father. We show that in the way we treat others as brothers and sisters in love. That's the purpose of calling God our Father which art in heaven. So dear congregation, there's no excuse for us not to live a life of godliness. For we have a Father in heaven who gives and who forgives, makes us willing and able to do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Amen.